This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
And at 9:05, it's time now for Sports Saturday, brought to you by Prairie Farms Dairy in Carlinville. Taste the homemade goodness of Prairie Farms. By Alan Pogampole, your country financial agent in Raymond. By Security National Bank, with locations to serve you in Witt, Coffeen, Irving, and Fillmore. By the Huff Funeral Homes in Raymond, Farmersville, and Hillsboro. By Kurtz 24-hour heavy and light duty towing of Litchfield. By Hillsboro Area Hospital, your front door to a world of healthcare. By Game Zone Plus in Nokomis. And by Bruce Webb Insurance in Farmersville and Raymond. Here are the guys. It's Tim Mize, Terry Tote, and David Jenkins.
Tobin Hop, thank you very much. Welcome to WSMI Sports Saturday. 13 days away from Football Friday now. We are counting down. We'll have our football preview show coming up for you next Saturday here on WSMI Sports Saturday. But, Terry, today we have a couple of in-studio guests that know a thing or two about officiating the game. And, of course,
we're tangled, we're tangled in headphone.
Not
so many wires.
And Kevin used to be real good at untangling wires when he was here working as our farm director years ago.
You get out of practice.
I guess it's a skill.
Not like riding a bike, apparently.
And of course, I grabbed the one that doesn't have the proper end on it.
Naturally.
Look at that. Okay, let's try a different
The beauty
one.
Of live radio and preparation.
Hey, I've actually got one of these splitters we can use if you want.
Look at that.
Hey, how about that?
There you go. There you go.
Now we're ready to roll.
This is one of our better starts of the year.
Yes. It's true and sad all at the same time.
Call the bullpen. Call the bullpen, and we're done.
See, he's on, what, five? I think Kevin's on five.
Yeah, we're both on five. Yeah, we're joined at the hip.
Ooh, there you go.
Hi,
Kevin Olson. How are you, sir?
Very good. Good to see
you
all.
You brought a good friend of yours and an assistant of yours in the officiating game, Scott McClure. Scott, good morning.
Good morning.
Good to have you here, and we're here to talk a little bit about football, and in particular, from time to time, we'll invite officials on, and we'll talk about a particular sport, and sometimes people think they know the rules of the game, and we find out, well, we really don't.
There's a lot of them.
There's a lot of them. There's a lot of things that you can do and a lot of things you can't do, and sometimes we forget. And sometimes we confuse what you can do with what you can't do. So we're going to talk to these guys who are officials. And I guess give us a little bit of background. How long have you been officiating, Kevin?
This is 15 years now.
Okay.
And this is my 10th.
Yeah. So right. And you basically, like anything else, you start at the lower levels, work your way up. And now how far along have you gotten as far as to the postseason and how deep into the playoffs?
Yeah, at least two rounds deep in the playoffs for the past 8 years.
All right.
Yeah.
So you've done your fair share of games and big games.
Yeah, well, and, you know, for the player involved, even the youngest JFL player, every game is as big as our biggest game.
Yeah.
For him.
Sure.
So it must be treated as such.
Yeah.
And I guess that's how you have to approach it. Otherwise, you might wind up officiating, say, a championship game different than you might a ball game in week one.
Well, and I think it goes to the point of respect, because if you don't respect the players at the lower levels, when they get older, they're not going to respect you. So I think it's a built-in lesson from the get-go, that if you take games important and realize, yes, the safety of the free world's not at stake for these lower-level games, but you're going to treat them with respect, treat the parents with respect. The kids may not know every rule, so it's an opportunity to teach. It really is.
One thing we see when we do local games, we see the youngsters from the JFL level. They remember us as they get older. And we do a lot of traveling. We'll travel hour and a half, 2 hours away from home, but then we'll do some local games as well, and we see them. And you're exactly right. That level of respect was achieved at a young age, and then it carries over. And the players, it's so refreshing, and Scott can add to this, so refreshing to see these young people have a respect for the game on the field and respect the opponent more so than you would think.
Right. And I think, too, that when you do a JFL game, for them, that's their biggest game of the week. And for an official to go out there thinking, hey, we're just here to throw the flag, or that's beyond what we're there for. We're there to kind of help teach them, and along with coaching. Because at a certain level, that's where everything is instilled at that age that they need to learn that you can't do this. You have to block like this. You have to keep your head up when you tackle and things like that. So it starts at that age, and I think anytime that you can help really drill that into them at a young age so they don't have those bad habits as they get older, it's always good for the game.
Yeah, when you establish good habits right off the bat, it's a lot easier than to go back and try to break a habit that's been there for years and years and years. It's just very, very tough to do.
The NFL's proven that right now. They're trying to make these guys unlearn the way that they played all the way through, and now maybe with the focus on it at the JFL level, now, in 15 years theoretically, the people who will be in the NFL will have learned that at the lower level, how to tackle properly, not spear guys, and perhaps –
The game has really evolved so much over the last 10, 15 years, even at the pro level, that we're trying to relearn as we go. Even when I played football back in the 80s, it's totally different than what it is now.
How so?
I think a lot of it is, too, when we were to learn how to tackle, we learned how to wrap arms and all that, and it seems like it has kind of gone by the wayside, unfortunately. Yeah. And I think, too, that people are going, head first, leading with the head, and try to undo that. The sport now is a lot faster. These kids are a lot stronger. So it's trying to keep up with that whole evolution of what these players look like. I was 6'2 in high school, and I was considered huge. That's nothing now. Yeah. Some of these players, we've gone to over in Robinson, Illinois. Even Paris. I think Paris is a good example. There was a linebacker there that was like 6'6". That is just unheard of back in the mid-'80s.
Something I always find interesting with football referees, you're talking about bigger, stronger, faster the players, but you guys are out there. You don't have pads. You don't have helmets, but you're right in the middle of the action, like literally.
That's a good point. And Scott is in the bullseye because he's the umpire,
right?
Yeah, and I spent a number of years at umpire, and the best thing you can do is anticipate the blocking, and then you can anticipate where the play is going and read the blocking, and you can protect yourself. The worst thing you can do is try to anticipate contact or movement behind you because they're watching you. They don't want to hit you. Some of your best players will use you as a pick, and that's always fun to watch. But we've kept Scott off the ground, I think, for the most part the past few years.
I think two times, the last couple, 3 years, actually.
Yeah. So, exactly. Your umpire is the most vulnerable position on the field. But, we have to maintain a certain condition so we can keep up with these young folks because they don't get any slower. And, we don't get any faster year to year.
And nobody has any sympathy for the referees ever.
I hadn't noticed that, Tim. Can you expound on that a little bit?
Ever. They don't care if you're tired. No. Doesn't matter.
No, but I tell you what, we tell our, one thing which is an ethic on our crew, that we will go out there and look the part. Yeah. There is no excuse. The kids are hustling. We're hustling. And a big part about it is, I tell my guys all the time, people are going to assume we don't know what we're doing just because we're wearing the stripes. Yeah. You see, everyone just knows we don't know. Don't justify that thought in their head by actually following through and not know what you're doing or looking like you don't know what you're doing. So go out there, hustle, look the part, and you've got about 90% of it licked. And then arm yourself with rules knowledge, and you can have a great time.
I think a lot of it, too. One of the things we as a crew do is dress the part even before the game. So we dress alike. We travel together. We do a lot of our post-game, pre-game stuff before the game, obviously. And then we dress the part before and during the game, even after the game. And I think that's a lot of it, too. When you go in there looking professional, you're going to act professional.
No different than the teams themselves.
Yeah, absolutely.
So. Exactly. Yeah. No. You set the scene. You set the tempo. You set the stage for the evening when you pull into the parking lot.
Yeah. Presentation matters. Yeah. We need to get to a break here on WSMI Sports Saturday. We'll come back with more in a moment.
Kurtz 24-hour heavy and light duty towing in Litchfield has commercial Goodyear tires and complete exhaust and is a Hertz car rental agency. Kurtz Crew Cab Rollback can transport your family and your car. Kurtz 24-hour towing can tow anything from your semi to a motorcycle. And now Kurtz does semi and automotive tires and repair, as well as complete automotive repair. So when you need a tow, remember 324-2400. Kurtz 24-hour towing, behind Denny's in Litchfield. GameZone Plus in Nokomis has what you're looking for. GameZone Plus has new and used laptops, tablets, cell phones, video game consoles and controllers, TVs, and a wide variety of electronic accessories. They also buy, sell, trade, and rent video games and DVDs. New releases too. GameZone Plus also offers expert computer and smartphone service and repair. Remember to shop local. GameZone Plus in Nokomis. Open Monday through Friday from 10 to 7, Saturday 9 to 9, Sunday noon to 6.
And at 9:15, let's take a look at the weather forecast brought to you by Paris Frozen Foods in Hillsboro. It's the home of the Big Porky. Occasional rain for today. We'll have a high of around 78 degrees. Occasional rain continuing on for tonight. Heavy rain is possible, though. We'll have a low of around 68 degrees. A 50% chance of rain for tomorrow. We'll have a high of around 80. A slight chance for rain for tomorrow night with a low of around 65 degrees. And for Monday, partly sunny skies. Expect the high Monday of around 85 degrees. A 30% chance of rain Monday night with a low of around 68 degrees. At 9:16, we have a temperature reading of 71 degrees, and the weather forecast is brought to you by Paris Frozen Foods in Hillsboro. It's the home of the Big Porky. Sports Saturday continues right after this.
One thing customers tell us they like best about banking with Real Community Bank is our people. This professional and often personal relationship helps us do our jobs better, more efficiently, and effectively. Not just when it comes to your borrowing money, but also when you need to consider long-term savings and investment needs. So next time you're considering a financial transaction, visit your hometown bank you can trust since 1932. Security National Bank, with locations in Witt, Coffeen, Irving, and Fillmore. And online at securitynb.com. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Farming doesn't follow an 8-to-5 schedule. A slow week is 60 to 80 hours. My land, livestock, and family rely on me. That's why I bought farm insurance from Auto Owners Insurance, because every policy comes with a local agent, a real person who lives right in my community, who I can rely on to keep my farm covered no matter what.
See the Bruce Webb Insurance Agency in Farmersville or Raymond.
And at 9:17, Sports Saturday continues once again. Here's Tim Mize, Terry Tote, and David Jenkins.
And welcome back to Sports Saturday. We have Kevin Olson and Scott McClure in studio. We're talking football, in particular football officiating, and of course high school football, a little bit different than college and professional football. But the National Federation, along with the Illinois High School Association, has gone out and tried to clean up football as far as some of the rules that they've implemented, tried to make the game a bit safer. Can you guys elaborate on some of those this year? I see you have an awful lot of yellow highlights on your football preseason guide here, Kev.
Yeah, that's the only way I can learn. What they've done in an effort, of course, to clean up the game, we talked earlier about the speed of the game is evolving, and targeting and defenseless player has been more properly defined in the Federation Football Rules Book, which trickles down, you know, to the rules in Illinois. So now they've provided a definition of targeting, and I'll use the quote, which targeting is an act of taking aim and initiating contact to an opponent above the shoulders with the helmet, forearm, hand, fist, elbow, or shoulders. The penalty for targeting is 15 yards, and then the offending player may be disqualified if the foul is deemed to be flagrant. And then there is also a definition for a defenseless player, and this is what it is. It's a player who, because of his physical position and focus of concentration, is especially vulnerable to injury. Okay?
And that's taking effect this year.
Yeah, that's taking effect this year. Basically, they're making our job a little bit easier. And something that we would have seen as flagrant and worthy of a foul in the past, they're putting more strict definitions to it. Mm-hmm. So we can sift through what might have been, well, that was an aggressive play, to, well, no, now that was a targeting, and we need to flag that.
Right. Risk minimization is kind of the big thing, especially with the Federation, you know, in an effort to really minimize that risk of catastrophic head, you know, and neck injuries. The Federation Rules Committee really came up with these things. And I think the biggest thing they're looking at now is keeping the head out of football. You know, so that's kind of the biggest thing. And really targeting the defensive player there is really a huge, even after the play, because we see a lot of players coming in after the play, and that's unnecessary. You know, so we have to really make sure that we stay on top of that.
We appreciate good aggressive play. And when we see a particular player who has a little bit more aggression in him that's doing him, for his own good, we'll talk to them. We talk to the players a lot. We try to talk people out of fouls. Now, if there's something that's what they might say would affect, the safety of another player, we flag that immediately. We're talking about defenseless players, and here are a few examples. A quarterback moving down the line of scrimmage who's handed or pitched the ball, a kicker in the act of kicking the ball, a passer in the act of throwing, a pass receiver whose concentration is on the ball and contact is unrelated to him attempting to break up the pass or catch the ball. Pass receiver who is clearly relaxed when he's missed the pass, and kick returner attempting to catch a kick is extremely vulnerable.
A couple of those almost are just football, though, in a way. Like if you're concentrating to catch a pass and you get hit, I mean, it is still tackle football. So it's such a fine line that has to be walked now, because when it gets down to it, it is a violent game.
Right, and I think, too, you have to look at from a player standpoint. Most of the time, these players know that the ball is either dropped or uncatchable, and they have to be able to realize that and back off. And there's times when they don't. They just want it. They're just out there to label somebody.
Right.
And it's unfortunate because ultimately they can hurt themselves and the player. So we have to, it is a judgment call, but we also have to look at it from the other player standpoint. Is he going in there with the intent,
right,
to hurt this person?
And a lot of this is just educational as far as the coaching, the officiating crews. If it's called consistently, it's learned. And then you don't have to worry about it as much. But it's that initial learning curve to make sure everybody understands what's going to be called, that it's going to be called, and you're not going to be able to get away with it.
And that's one of the things the Federation and the IHSA try to bring in is more consistency. We have clinics, we have rules meetings. IHSA is tremendous at providing materials for officials to help them get on top of their game, be consistent week in and week out. They want crews to enforce in a consistent manner. And we always find it somewhat amusing when it's week 8 and, oh, that's the first time I've seen that all season.
All the time.
Or a coach will hearken back to a rule that's been out of effect for 15 years, trying to gain an advantage. So, it's all about consistency and, doing the parts. You're out there for the young folks. And you're out there to, of course, have a good time. But there has to be consistency from one crew to the next, and IHSA really strives to provide us materials to do that.
So the targeting is probably, I guess, the biggest focus coming into the year. What are some of the other, I guess, changes or maybe tweaks right. that will be implemented for the upcoming season?
Well, I think also, too, we're talking about kicking team. One of the things, too, is we want to make sure that there's at least four on either side. You don't want to have imbalance there, because it kind of goes back to the rule of safety, especially if you're trying to do an onside kick. You want to make sure that you have a balance line there, because you're going to have this one side before in the past when they try to do an onside kick, you're going to have this player get labeled. So they're trying to take that out, of that. And also, too, there's another one additional to no kicking players, with the exception of the kicker, maybe more than 5 yards behind the kicking team's free kick line. So that's a new one. So, between the 30 and the 35, mm-hmm. nobody can be on that with the exception of the kicker.
So try to picture this. You've got your team set up for kickoff. You've got the kicker, okay? He can be more than 5 yards back from where that ball's teed up, but he's the only guy, okay? And then on either side of him, there can be five guys on either side, or there can be four and six, but no 3 and 7, 2 and 8, 1 and 9, okay? So it's balanced, okay? So you see a lot of teams, they come out of the huddle, and they do this quick thing,
yeah,
okay?
Yeah.
So... I'm the white hat. I'm the guy they call the referee. Referee is a broadly used term, but we have a referee umpire. Those are the guys in the middle. The two wing guys are the linesman and the line judge, and then the guy back there all by himself where everyone boos at, that's the back judge. And he's the one that has the what we call the beep cutting calls, okay? And on pass interference and such, and he's out there on an island. Anyway, when they break that huddle, it will be important that we know how many guys are on the side of the ball at kickoff. The white hat, the referee, blows what they call the ready. You hear that whistle. Boom, that means they can go. Between the ready and when the ball's kicked is the time period in which they must have the 4-6 or 5-5 on either side of the kicker. And I'm sure there are going to be formations created to try to gain an advantage that has perhaps been taken away in this formation that we're going to have to diagnose in a very short period of time.
Will that be, that won't be a penalty? Like if they try something tricky, how will that work?
If I determine from the white hat position, because the other guys are going to be off on the side of the field, I'll have the clear look down the field. If I determine they don't have 4-6 or 5-5, I'll kill it immediately and enforce a 5-yard encroachment.
Oh, okay.
That's what it is. It's an encroachment. It's not a formation. It's an encroachment.
So there's your warning for all you coaches out there.
Yeah. I think that'll be a deterrent, though, because, I mean, a high school kickoff 5 yards, that, you know, that's a big 5 yards of field position.
Oh, sure. Sure, especially with some of these kickers nowadays. They can kick touchbacks. And if you've got a kicker who's a great weapon in kicking a touchback, rather than team starting out at the 20, you may be out at the 30, 35 because you've given up a return.
Interesting. Yeah. Interesting. Generally, when you come into a season and there are a few new rules or some tweaks in the rules, does it take a couple of 3 weeks, seriously, in reality, to get everybody on page? Everybody understanding, everybody, you know, the coaches, the kids, everybody, even the officiating crews, everybody understanding what's going on?
I think really within the first 2 weeks, and I think a lot of us too, the crew works so well together, it's just really educating that coach, because sometimes a coach may not understand, although they think they do, because they have so much on their plate anyhow, trying to coach, you know, special teams, quarterbacks, linebackers, things like that. So we need to be in there and say, explain, especially if we throw a flag, we need to be able to explain as officials, this is why we call it this way. You know, so I think within the first 2 weeks, anything beyond that, I think it's negligent on our part as officials to not being able to let them know, because it's so much a part of this game and it's ever evolving. I mean, even through the referee guide, they even flash back to last year's, you know, rule changes. There's so many there that as rules change, we have to make sure that we're cognizant of how they're evolving and why they're evolving the way they are. Matter of fact, one of the newer tweaks we talked about earlier is actually roughing the passer expanded. And Kevin could talk to this, being a clinician and being a referee in the backfield, really kind of talking to this. This is another one of those tweaks to that rule as well.
Yeah, this is a big rules change. They're furthering the protection of the passer. Okay, you have the traditional roughing the passer. There are very few fouls in high school football that result in an automatic first down. You have roughing the passer, roughing the kicker, and roughing the snapper, and pass interference. Those are the only ones that create a first down, automatic first down. We can talk and talk, and we do a lot, and we laugh about it. The differences between Sunday football, Saturday football, and Friday night football.
Right.
And all of the Sunday football rules that seem to trickle onto the field, you know, from the stands and the sidelines, because
sometimes the broadcast booth.
Yeah.
It's like, oh wait, no, that's not the rule.
Yeah, that's not the rule. So what they've done is they've expanded the roughing the quarterback or roughing the passer. Right? That's proper terminology. It's not roughing the quarterback. It's roughing the passer.
Because if it's a halfback pass,
you may have a halfback
exactly,
option,
exactly, sure. Exactly. So if a passer is treated in such a manner that would result in a foul, traditionally they would have to be in the act of passing the ball. Now that passer is afforded protection, not only in the act of passing, that may result in a roughing the passer foul for first down. Take, for example, a 15-yard face mask. High school still has the 5-yard and 15. 5 is the incidental. 15 is the genuine yank and spin.
And that's not automatic first down?
No, it is not automatic first down. So if it's second and 16 and then there's a face mask well, that's not a really good example. It's from where the penalty occurs in conjunction with where the play ends. But anyway, no, the 15 yards doesn't always give them a first down. So roughing the passer expanded means that this passer now is afforded protection, which could give the team an automatic first down, as the traditional roughing the passer did, because of additional protections for flagrant or unintentional but yet violent acts against that passer.
Now, the way rules are advancing and expanding, could you see maybe in the foreseeable future that, like, for example, a pass interference becomes a spot foul rather than just an automatic 15 yards?
what they give us is we can add 15 yards if we determine that it's a flagrant act.
Mm-hmm.
You very rarely see it enforced. You've got the 15, you've got the automatic first down. If you determine that it was a very flagrant act, the referee has the ability to add another 15 to give them 30.
Hmm.
I don't see that coming. I don't know why. It would not be hard to administer. We could administer that in a heartbeat. Perhaps they think it would put the defense at too great of a disadvantage. We have to realize we're not dealing, these are very talented athletes, but we're not dealing with the agility of an NFL football player mm-hmm. here. Contact occurs, which is unintentional, and I think they probably believe that the spot may be too extreme of a penalty for that particular foul.
With that in mind, with high school football being more ground-oriented, let's talk a little bit about the option in terms of, like, you know, quarterback safety. You get the quarterback running down the line of scrimmage with that late pitch. He's not considered a passer at that point, but if he pulls back for the option pass, then he is back to getting that protection. So just talk a little bit about how you have to, I guess, basically officiate the option.
Well, you know, that's a really good point. And I would probably enforce it consistently with how we enforce roughing the kicker on a punt. Until he makes that punt, and if there's any action which makes you believe he's not going to make that punt, if there's reasonable doubt that a punt will occur, he's just another guy with the ball.
Right.
Okay. So if he's fumbling around with that ball and gets off a not very good punt and the defender didn't think he was going to get off a punt, contact is allowable, because there was reasonable doubt that that punt was going to be made. So if you've got a quarterback who's doing the option and does something where the defense is not 100% certain that that fellow is going to be a passer, that's going to have to be taken into consideration on that particular call, no doubt.
As is the case, there are going to be judgment calls. That's why they hire officials, so that you can be, you know, impartial, take a look at the situation. And there are times, as officials, you will make a call, and then you'll talk about it after the game, and then maybe you will tweak your interpretation of a particular call.
Well, Scott, you might add something to this, but we talk about calls as we're in the process of administering them.
Right. There's times, too, that being an umpire in the middle, I've got to be able to not only look at what's going on the line initially on the snap, but also passes and runs up the middle and making sure there's times when I may see something on the back end, whether it's a holding or whatever, that maybe the wing official or the back judge may not see. And there's times that we may communicate as a group before we, that's the beauty of football is you can wave off a flag, which yeah. is great because there, I may see something, and we're always taught to make sure we see it from beginning to end. You don't want to throw a flag at the end of a play if you didn't see it all, you know, because that really makes you look bad, you know, when you see something at the end because you don't see the entire play. You know, so we have as officials need to communicate effectively on this is what I saw. And there's times when we may have to wave that flag because we saw something totally different from our vantage point that is the correct vantage point. You know, we don't want to take away from the other officials, but we want to make sure we get the play right. We're there as officials. We're not there to – we don't want to be a part of this game as far as players. We want the players to play, but if we see something – and we have to be able to throw that, especially one of the things that really chaps me so much is when you see plays, when it doesn't even affect what's going on the field, and you have an official throwing a flag. Now, we have to go back. Did that affect the play? Now, obviously, if safety is involved, yes, you have to. But if it did not affect the play, then you really need to keep that flag in your pocket.
And there's this thing called the flow of the game. And you'd like to have a great flow to the contest, but sometimes you just don't get it because – you have to call, you know, throw the flag once in a while. And as smooth as you'd like to have the game proceed, you just don't get the opportunity to have that.
Believe me, throwing flags is not our primary objective out there. We like to get into the flow of the game. There's just as much enjoyment for us in following the play, relaying the ball, all the other things that are involved in officiating. Throwing the flag gives us a little administrative task that we would rather avoid, okay? And so Scott hit it on the head. You know, the holds that are not a safety issue away from the point of attack, we really strive to leave those alone. Okay. Now, if that player had the ability to inevitably, through the end of the play, come back into the play and do something, yeah, sure, you want to catch that. So it's all about when I get the information from one of my crewmates, okay, what did you have? Did you see the whole thing? Another guy may come in, what did you have? Okay, I saw this. And sure, waving off flags, there's no shame in that because, you know, you're getting it right, and that's what it's all about.
I think, too, that to Kevin's point, we want to make sure that if, as a crew, if we don't know what it is, don't call it. You know, I think sometimes...
Don't make up stuff.
That's right. You know, call them as you see them, you know, if I don't, I'll make them up type thing. You know, we don't want to do that. We want to be fair, too. If we don't know the rules, then we shouldn't be out there. You know, so it's very important for us to make sure that we call what we see and understand. So when we relay it to Kevin, let him know, and given that you know, that player, the option, we want to make sure we say it correctly.
And Kevin, you're a clinician, which means that you are a presenter. You are the guy that will help other officials hopefully get better, stay in officiating, and bring their game to a higher level. When it comes to tweaking rules or changing rules, the National Federation of High Schools, along with the IHSA, oftentimes asks for some opinions from officials, especially those who are clinicians and those who have been doing this sort of thing for a while. And that's where they get ideas to maybe tweak things around. And a lot of people may not understand the whole perspective. They just think some people sit in the middle in a room someplace in the middle of America and say, well, let's change this rule. That's really not the case.
No, it's not the case. There is a process, and it's a very thorough process. And a lot of times, you know, it's amazing. We'll talk during the season. You know, they could do this. And then during the off season, you know, lo and behold, they change it. So I think they feel what is kind of like a groundswell from the evolution of the game, what is coming up, what officials are saying, what coaches are saying, and tweak the rules accordingly. At the same time, they do take a lead, I think, from the other NCAA and NFL, because they do a lot of research into the evolution of the game and what type of fouls should be created. And, you know, and one of them was the 5-yard face mask a number of years, a huge tool. And then the NFL took it away. And I think that's kind of a shame, because incidental face masks are going to occur. The defender had no ill intent. The player was not harmed. The 5-yard face mask is a great tool for us. You know, we really like that.
How exaggerated is the phrase, well, they could call holding on every play?
It depends.
I think it depends on the talent of the team.
Yeah.
Well, a lot of it has to do, does it involve the actual play that's taking place?
Right.
You pointed this out.
Right. I think sometimes, too, there's times when we've actually officiated games, we can actually call on every play.
Yeah.
But that's not what we're there for. We want to make sure that the game fluid, you know, is make sure. We want to be intentional to what we do. But I think there's going to be times, to your point, that you can actually throw a flag on every play.
The question is it relevant?
Right.
Is it relevant? Weather conditions affect that tremendously. If it's a muddy, everyone's holding everyone. They're just trying to stand up. But is it a hold to gain an advantage? That's what we look for. Was an advantage gained by the foul? And you were talking just a minute ago, and I wanted to go back to something. You know, rules changes. Last year they changed the rule on pass interference. Mm-hmm. It's no longer a first down, an automatic first down. And then they took away the loss of down on defense. And I don't know, you know, whether that rule change was necessary, I don't know. I like the old way of administering it.
So it took away the loss of down.
Yeah, it took away loss of down. So, yep.
Boy.
For on the offensive pass interference. Yeah.
Okay. That's the thing about football. There are literally so many rules. Like, do you know the actual number of rules? I mean, it's a fairly thick book.
Yeah.
There it is. I mean, and you got. Yeah. I mean, you know, you obviously have to know every single rule in there, because you never know. Maybe that one rule gets called once a year. Maybe it's called once every 3 years. But you guys have to know it on the moment, right then and there, that's the rule and that's what we got to call.
I train every year for fouls that I've never called in 15 years.
Wow.
Okay, it just happens. But you have to know that exists.
And, of course, the year that you don't train for that foul is the year that it would happen.
Exactly.
You know, and one of the things, too, when we talk about pregame, that's one of the things we do emphasize, is the fact that there's going to be plays out there that, you know, when you don't expect it, that's when it's going to happen, especially on kickoffs. That's when you're going to have some of these obscure plays that's in the play, you know, in the rule book. You know, so that's why it's so important to kind of go back through there. And Kevin has a really good book, you know, the rules by topic and all that. We also have mechanics book. There's so many different things involved with football. You know, and that's the beauty of football, because it does evolve all the time.
And for officials of any sport, a lot of the groundwork is laid out ahead of time when you meet with coaches and with the players and give them a sense that, hey, we're in control here and, you know, we'll take care of everything. They don't have to worry about officiating. All they have to do is worry about playing.
Right. We take the field 35 minutes before the game. We have a good talk with everyone, try to keep things in a relaxed, calm flow, answer any questions. And believe me, coaches do an awesome job in this day and age with technology. With the Huddle website, they can preview film like never before. And so they see tendencies, and they ask us about tendencies and ask us to watch. And we really appreciate that, a little heads up, because we don't pre-scout teams. I'd rather go into a game blind, not knowing anything about either team, not having any preconceived ideas of what this team does, because then I can just call the game in an undiluted form.
But there are games where there are big rivals that tend to have wild and woolly affairs, and you have to be aware of that going in.
Well, exactly. That's where Scott and I talking in the middle.
Hey, we're always talking. Yeah. We are always talking, especially if you have a close game or those rivalries. We're always, guys, you know, push off the ground on the player. We're always being a presence in that pile, because that's when all the crap is going to happen.
Yeah.
You know, and the one little thing which may seem insignificant will snowball into something catastrophic in a short period of time. So, yeah, we stay on top of it, and for the most part, I tell you what, it's really refreshing working with these young people. You don't see it from the stands, but these are fine young gentlemen. The sportsmanship we see on the field would just really, the fans have really no idea how much respect these young guys have for the game.
And of course, that's the unique thing about football is, with the helmets and the face masks, you don't see the facial expressions of the athlete like you do basically in every other sport. Right. But you guys do.
Right.
The fans don't.
Right, right. And we read that thing, and some of the best jobs we do is heading off things that may be a problem before they become one.
Let's talk a little bit the officials. We've had officials on before, and there's concern about the officials are getting older, not younger, and trying to fill that gap.
Is Tobin.
Is that the case in football, though?
I think so.
No, we're getting younger. Yeah. Scott and I.
It's a chemical thing, okay?
Yeah.
I think the medium age now is 47, I think, in IHSA. I'm not sure, you know, what it is. I think a lot of it is trying to draw officials. It's hard at a younger age because a lot of kids are going away to school. They're not staying plugged in. They're finding it later in life, as I did. You know, I played the game. I broadcasted the game in Texas. You know, I've seen it from that standpoint, but I never thought about becoming an official. And I think, you know, from a younger age, if you can get these kids started, you know, younger. I know Robert started, Kevin's son started, you know, in high school. But I think that's kind of the rare to the rule. You know, so, yeah, I think anymore you're seeing a lot of these older officials, you know, coming up, unfortunately.
And the thing is, you have to know your limitations. You have to know your limitations and put and put yourself in the right position to still do the job on the field. You know, I knew as an umpire my stature and perhaps my age wasn't that just wasn't the right place for me anymore. Because it hurt too much. And so, you know, and then a back judge was a really good position for me because, you know, I still have fairly good mobility, at least maybe. And and we try to, seriously, we look at the people. And our you know, we have a very fleet of foot back judge. That's very important. It's really important. Yeah. Your crew, I think your crew tempo is set by the back judge. His ability to move is so vital. And of course, make good, quick decisions. The wing guys, their ability to work with the coaches, be able to communicate what we're doing in the middle of the field out to the coaches in an effective manner has to be really good. I like baseball guys on the wings because I think baseball guys, they talk. They're used to diffusing conflict on a regular basis. And, you know, baseball guys do a really good job of that on the wings. But, yeah, as a crew evolves and as we age, we have to place ourselves in a position on the field that works for that particular age.
We need to get to a break here on Sports Saturday. We're back with more in a moment.
When the occasion is special, the ice cream should be special as well. Next time you want an outstanding dessert, serve farmer-owned Prairie Farms Old Recipe Ice Cream, the all-natural flavored ice cream made the old recipe way. Fresh Country Cream, the best fruits, nuts, and natural ingredients all blended to create a classic taste experience. It's Prairie Farms Old Recipe Ice Cream, and it's available in your favorite flavors, including butter pecan. Taste the homemade goodness of farmer-owned Prairie Farms.
Experiencing aches, pains, or an injury? Teamwork Rehab can help you. Our Hillsborough location has the only aquatic therapy program in Montgomery County. Aquatic therapy provides effective therapeutic treatment for those who have limited tolerances for traditional land-based rehab. At Teamwork Rehab, you always have one-on-one individualized care provided by a certified, licensed professional. Give Teamwork Rehab a call at 532-4160 for all your physical therapy needs. Teamwork Rehab, a division of Hillsborough Area Hospital, your front door to a world of healthcare.
And at 9:45, let's take a look at the weather forecast brought to you by CarQuest in Carlinville and Jacksonville. You'll find it at CarQuest. Occasional rain for today. We'll have a high of around 78 degrees. Rain continuing on for tonight. Heavy rain is possible. Keep in mind, we'll have a low of around 68 degrees. A 50% chance of rain for tomorrow. We'll have a high of around 80. 20% chance of rain for tomorrow night with a low of around 65 degrees. And for Monday, partly sunny skies. We'll have a high Monday of around 85 degrees. 30% chance of rain for Monday night with a low of around 68 degrees. Chance of rain Tuesday through Friday. Highs will be in the 90s. Lows will be in the 70s. And at 9:46, we have a temperature reading of 72 degrees. And the weather forecast is brought to you by CarQuest in Carlinville and Jacksonville. You'll find it at CarQuest. Sports Saturday continues in 1 minute.
Since 1899, four generations of Huffs have been dedicated to serving families in Central Illinois. Today, they continue that tradition of compassion, personal attention, and professional service that started long ago. The Huff family has always tried to place the needs of their families first, to provide them the information to make wise decisions at such a delicate time in their life. Today, Dan and David Huff continue this family tradition. Huff Funeral Homes in Raymond, Farmersville, and Hillsboro, you do have a choice.
From auto and home insurance to financial planning, from education to retirement, Country Financial doesn't want to make your decisions for you, just support them in the best way possible.
You can grow your own way.
Just call my dad, Alan Pogenpohl, your country agent in Raymond.
And at 9:47, Sports Saturday continues once again. Here's Tim Mize, Terry Tote, and David Jenkins.
Back on Sports Saturday, Scott McClure, Kevin Olson in here. We're talking football rules, officiating, that sort of stuff. And Kevin, you're a clinician. And from time to time, even though it's tough to do during the regular season, you try to make time to maybe observe other officials and give them feedback. I know that's a very valuable tool to help people improve.
Well, I know when my son was playing, I had a great opportunity to observe other officials. And then come playoff time, there are, you know, if our game, our playoff game's on a Friday night or a Saturday, you know, we'll go see other crews work. And you know, it's enjoyable because you can always pick up a few things from those other crews that we can employ, on our own crew.
Right. I think, too, that crew mechanics is a big thing. There's actually another book on crew mechanics, which is phenomenal. And I think that's what we pride ourselves in, is to make sure that we follow the mechanics accordingly. Yes, we have rules, but we also have ways of doing things as officials.
Scott, people don't understand when you say mechanics, it's positioning. It's getting exactly, in the right exactly. spot to make the right call. That's what mechanics are, using the proper signals to make sure that everybody in the facility knows what the call is, that the coaches know what it is, the people in the box know what the call is. That's what we, when we say mechanics, that's what we're talking about.
And that's part of what I was talking about earlier in the program, when looking the part when you're out there, proper positioning. If you're in the right place, you're probably going to make the right call. If you're in the right place and the call is not one that folks on the sideline might necessarily agree with, they'll respect the fact that at least you weren't out of position. Right. And that's something that we really strive to work on.
Well, we have certain keys, too. As part of officials, you know, back judge, the wings, referee, and umpire, we all have different keys, meaning we have certain areas of the field, certain players we're watching, you know, at any given point in time. You know, so that's important, too, for us to know what our keys are. And Kevin will talk about here shortly what preseason we do as far as training on how to look at certain keys, because there's a lot of different things, whether it's a weak side or a strong side, who is covering what player.
Yeah, and we're rather fortunate nowadays. Seems like more and more videos of the games are available online. At one point, back in my early days, it used to provide a videotape to the home team and get the tape back in the mail, or a DVD, and that's effective. But we do like to watch ourselves, see how our mechanics looked, how we effectively manage that game, and if we've got a sixth man or someone who's working his way into officiating, having them come there and actually videotape us working, that's very helpful. This is almost a year-round process for us. I guess we give ourselves a couple months off, but then during the winter, say January, February, we talk about getting together. I'd say, Scott, we probably get together at least four or five times during the off season. Mm-hmm. Talk a lot, review new things coming out from the Federation. The rule changes usually come out in January, so you have a little time to discuss that. There are many online resources you can borrow from. So usually, sometime in the spring, I put down any other books that I read and start to get out my football books again. And try to brush up. So it's an around the year thing, and then we talk a lot during the week, before the game, after the game. Try to attend clinics together. So it's a constant process of trying to get better, and then realizing, doing a position by position analysis, and recognizing our flaws and getting better in those areas, because everyone has flaws.
I think also people need to understand, too, as far as being officials, it's a process that you go through. You have to take annual tests. You have to go through the clinics, especially if you want to go on to those state playoffs. So keeping ourselves abreast of what's going on in the world of football is so imperative to us as officials, that a lot of people don't realize that we are tested. We have to go through so many things just to get to the football field. You know, so that's very important.
One thing, and I think we've talked about a lot with the Major League Baseball going to the video replays and everything, the perspective. You know, if you're in position, you're probably, as you mentioned, Kevin, going to get the call right. But when fans are, you know, 150 feet away, their perspective is obviously different.
They think it is.
But the thing of it is, when you're down on the field, the game moves so much faster than your perspective when you're up in the stands. The game doesn't move quite as fast when you're that far away. And, you know, they don't realize how quick you have to make that decision out there. But it's all about being in the right position. And the question, and we've talked about this with Major League Baseball, you know, I said I think it's foolish to have four or five different angles of replay. I think the only replay that should come about is a stereo camera on the hat of the umpire, and whether he got the call right from his perspective, because that's the only thing that really counts. Was he in position? If it looked out, he's out. Even if on the backside, he wasn't out, but if it looked out from his position, he made the right call. So a lot of times it's perspective, it's being in the right spot. And even though people 150 feet, 200 feet away think that you were, you blew the call, being in the right position, having the right perspective on the call is what really counts.
Well, and was the call relevant to the play?
Yeah, yeah.
Or was what you saw from the 150 feet away relevant to the play? And that's the judgment that's best made on the field. You know, I understand. That's a great aspect from the sides or from up above on the sides. But was it relevant to what actually occurred on the field? Scott, would you have something to add to that?
Yeah, I think, too, that there's also cases where people don't understand the rules, where they – I don't know how many times be
– I'm run, shocked. I'm outraged.
Huh, where they say, that's a block in the back. Well, you know, they're up in the stands, you know, and it's really funny because they don't really understand or interpret the rules well. But I think from a standpoint of being on the field, it's kind of going back to your football analogy or the baseball analogy. They don't put the umpires in left field.
No.
They put them behind the plate for a reason.
And at the bases. You know,
exactly. So being in the middle for every position that we play, it's so important that you are in tune to what you are supposed supposed to be watching. Because there's times, too, that it can get away from you because you're so wrapped up in the game, you're watching this, that you are ignoring what your keys are. So I think sometimes crews can get into that habit of not watching what they're supposed to be watching, and sometimes those plays will get away from you that's supposed to be called. You know, so it's so important that you are so focused on what your job is, because you have a job on the field. You know, we want to make sure that we call it correctly, that if we don't, then we understand next time we need to make sure that we watch this.
And coaches are always talking about don't let down, don't let down, look down, don't let down. Game officials are the same way. They can't let down because as soon as you do, something goes wrong.
Yeah, you. One thing I do is I remind myself down distance which team has the ball before
that's
the down.
That's because you've done radio, Kevin. You always do a little play-by-play to yourself.
Exactly, but keeping that mental acuity, knowing mentally, you know, am I in tune on this play? Taking a down off in what we do is unacceptable. Okay, so we can't afford any mental lapses, not saying that they never occur.
Fifth downs have happened before.
Yep, you're right.
Yeah. You know, just when I say that could never happen to us, but you never say that. Yeah. Because every misstep that every officiating crew has had, anyone is subject to that at any time on any play.
And it makes you look bad, too, because we get all lumped into the same package. You're all officials. You're all officials. Well, no, not really. There's some good officials and some really bad officials. You know, so we try to make sure that when we do our off-season prep that we're in tune with each other. We know what's going on. You know, there's times when Kevin may get a call wrong where I may, as an umpire, say, hey, we need to force it this way because that's what the rule is. You know, so we have to keep ourselves accountable, too.
I've got a question that really has nothing to do with the game itself. The microphone for the referee. Sometimes you see it at the high school level, sometimes you don't. Does the referee provide his own microphone? Is that a school-by-school thing?
That's a school-by-school thing approved by the state for that particular school. And the microphone, I love it. Because it gives you that opportunity to explain to the fans what just happened. Because all they see is a bunch of signals, and you know, I vocalize all my calls that for the sake of the coaches. Mm-hmm. And if I speak loud enough, sometimes they can hear me in the box. But the microphone, I think, should be a necessity for every game. I would love to see that. It really brings you right to the fan. And you seem to have fewer issues in games where you've got the microphone.
Yeah, because, I mean, I know most of the hand signals, you know, but every once in a while, like, it'll be like,
hand signals which can cover 6-7 different fouls. So, yeah, you think you know,
right.
But you don't know always exactly what we called on the field. It's kind of funny when I make a signal and I hear it coming from the press box. And I'm like, no. that's not even close.
You know, we also have crew signals too that people get all screwed up. You know, no. We're communicating with ourselves. It's not a foul, people.
Yeah. Yeah, that gesture I made at Scott. No, it's not what you think.
And we'll talk about that after the game. Do you guys get pumped up for like the first game of the year? Is there a little extra adrenaline flowing?
Oh, yeah. You know, if we didn't enjoy this, we wouldn't be doing it. Yeah, the anticipation of the first game is tremendous. We have our first scrimmage, which is kind of helps us tune up. We'll be in Taylorville Friday night for our first preseason scrimmage, and that little bit helps. Scott's doing some JFL this afternoon. Mm-hmm. That helps. So, yeah, anytime we can see live action certainly helps. And then when I go to college or NFL games, I look at the game from an official's perspective, and that helps.
Where will you guys be week one?
I'm not sure.
Oh, boy.
somewhere in the Peoria area. Yeah. Is it Peoria East? Somewhere in that. We start off in the Peoria area the first 3 weeks of the season, and then I don't know where else. We're going to be at Gillespie this year. I think week 9 we're in Gillespie.
And we're either Salem or Paris, one of those. I know we're in Effingham.
We're in Flora.
In Flora and Effingham.
And we're in Oakland.
Yep.
You see the state then.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we do.
Yeah, it's so much fun. It's enjoyable going to where people know you, but you don't want people to know that people know you.
Right.
But it's also enjoyable to go where they'll never see you again.
You guys are kind of like the left tackle. If nobody really notices you, you're doing your job.
That's the goal.
That's great. Scott, thank you for coming in. Scott McClure, Kevin Olson, a couple of officials who do a great job, and we see them every once in a while in our high school football coverage. And Football Friday is getting close. There's no opening day like it.
Nothing like
it. High school sports. Football Friday is pretty special.
Football preview show next week.
Next week, coming up, and we'll talk with Matt Trohaw from the Illinois High School Association. That's it. Don't forget Cardinal Baseball tomorrow, 12:20 on AM 1540 as they wrap up their series with the Padres. And Fighting Illini football starts the Saturday after Football Friday. So it's
could be their win.
Could be their win of the season. That's, yeah, we'll find out. WSMI FM, Litchfield, Hillsboro, Carlinville, and Greenville. For Tim, Dave, Scott, Kevin, I'm Terry. That's it for Sports Saturday on the 16th day of August. Enjoy your weekend.